Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple hops brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness. You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 429. I'm Amy Matheny, and hot and rainy. It seems to be a bit of an up and down roller coaster that we're on here in Chicago. But we only have a hot show for you, nothing rainy. Lots going on in the news, and also the hot and out. John Barrowman from Torchwood, Jerry Nunn sat down with him and talked with him about the upcoming series on Stars and his life and his career, and so excited to bring that to you because how fantastic that there's this cool, openly gay, hot British guy headlining his own series. Neil Patrick Harris, he's not the only one, and he's not British. So it's super, super cool. John Barrowman on the show, news, what's going on in the theater, and much, much more. We're just going to get right to it. Enjoy.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Sam Adams, the openly gay mayor of Portland, Oregon, will not seek re-election because he feels a campaign would be too time-consuming. Adams was surrounded by controversy in 2008 when he admitted lying about having sex with then-teenage legislative aide Beau Breedlove.
In Texas, Houston area officials are banding together in an attempt to overturn the parole granted to John Bice, who killed gay banker Paul Broussard in 1991. Bice is serving 45 years in prison for his part in Broussard's murder, but the Texas Board of Pardons voted 2-0 on July 1st to approve Bice's parole. Bice and nine others bullied Broussard, then 27, and two friends, eventually killing him. The other nine are already on parole.
Gay GOP presidential candidate Fred Karger is moving closer to debating on a national stage. Karger was favored by 1% of Republican voters in a recent poll, which ties him with former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich and puts him just 1 point behind former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty. Debate candidates have to average 1% in 5 national polls. So far, Karger has been excluded.
In San Francisco, David Munoz Diaz, 22, is accused of murdering Freddy Canul Arguello and then setting fire to the victim's remains. But Diaz claims the death was accidental. Diaz and the victim reportedly went to Buena Vista Park in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood to have sex. Diaz's attorney believes that some form of erotic asphyxiation resulted in the victim's death, adding that Diaz panicked and set a garbage can on fire. Diaz is being held on $5 million bail.
The man who led Milwaukee authorities to serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer 2 decades ago has been ordered held on $10,000 bail in another man's drowning death. Tracy Edwards, 52, is charged with reckless endangerment with the drowning of Johnny Jordan. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for August 8th. In 1991, Edwards escaped from Dahmer's apartment and guided police to him.
In Missouri, the Olivet City Council unanimously passed 2 pro-LGBT measures. Olivet is the first city in the state to pass a non-discrimination ordinance inclusive of sexual orientation and gender identity. It will also be one of the few cities across the country to have created a domestic partnership registry along with the anti-discrimination protections. The non-discrimination ordinance went into effect immediately. The registry will be available September 1st.
A South Carolina newspaper has published the wedding announcement of a gay interracial couple. William Leonard Hasty III and Gregory Maurice Smith were married in New York. However, the couple met in Columbia, South Carolina. Smith is an executive vice president and Hasty is currently a homemaker.
In Washington state, the Suquamish tribe has allowed and recognized marriage equality. The Suquamish Tribe's Council voted to extend marriage rights to same-sex couples on its reservation near Seattle at the request of lesbian member Heather Purser. However, since the rest of the state does not recognize same-sex marriage, the law's effect is limited to the reservation.
Illinois' Wheaton College has been named the least LGBT-friendly campus in the nation. The institution, founded in 1860, has acquired the title despite the efforts of One Wheaton, an alumni group that organized to advocate for LGBT students at the Christian College.
In Wisconsin, Milwaukee County employees will have access to health benefits for same and opposite-sex domestic partners. However, the board may limit the benefits to same-sex partners, cutting the tab by 75% when it goes into the budget process later this year.
A University of Texas study has shown that men are more than twice as likely to continue dating a woman who has cheated on them with a woman instead of another man. 50% of men would stay with a bisexual woman, as opposed to the 22% who would continue dating a woman who had slept with a man. However, only 21% of the women would stay with a man who had had a same-sex affair.
The New York City Council has awarded the Allie Forney Center $620,000 to take over a 20-bed Brooklyn Emergency Center that will serve homeless and runaway LGBT youths. The money represents a shift of funds that has been allocated for another group, Turning Point, that didn't comply with shelter licensing guidelines.
In Houston, Texas, Jennifer Poole is running for city council, hoping to be the city's first transgender member on the board. Poole is running for a seat vacated by lesbian Sue Lovell, who reached her term limit. Before Lovell, current Mayor Anise Parker occupied the seat. Poole worked in the construction industry in the 1990s, but was fired when she underwent gender reassignment surgery. After that, she started a consulting business in the same industry.
Tim Pawlenty has joined some other GOP presidential candidates in signing the National Organization for Marriage's anti-gay pledge. Pawlenty now joins Michelle Bachmann, Rick Santorum, and Mitt Romney in signing the pledge, which, among other things, calls for supporting a federal constitutional ban on same-sex marriage.
In Holland, Michigan, more than 150 individuals marched from Smallenberg Park to City Hall to protest the city council's decision to exclude sexual orientation and gender identity from the anti-discrimination ordinance.
The 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has approved the case of Marty Gilbert against the Country Music Association, Country Music Television, and MTV Networks. Gilbert claims he was fired from being a stagehand at the Country Music Awards because of his sexual orientation. However, because of the lack of anti-bias laws in Tennessee against LGBT employees, he cannot sue the CMA, CMT, or MTV.
A survey has found that 81% of New Jersey voters support civil unions or marriage for same-sex couples. The poll also found that more people support marriage equality, 47%, than those who do not, 42%. New Jersey is among five states that recognize civil unions, along with Illinois, Delaware, Rhode Island, and Hawaii. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is against same-sex marriage.
In world news, in Norway, married lesbian couple Hege Dahlen and Toril Hansen helped rescue 40 people during the recent shooting rampage at a youth camp on Utøya Island. The couple made four trips back and forth in their small boat, picking up injured and scared young people. At least 76 people are confirmed dead in the attacks, which included a bomb explosion in Oslo.
Argentina has welcomed its first openly gay and married senator, Osvaldo Lopez. Lopez, age 39, said that he would like to see a bill passed that would help transgender individuals alter their identities on government documents more easily. Argentina is still the only Latin American country that offers same-sex marriage.
In the Netherlands, gay service members in the Dutch military participated as an official group in Amsterdam's gay pride parade for the first time ever. A boat sponsored by the country's defense ministry joined dozens of other floats navigating through the canal parade. The ministry has prohibited discrimination against gays in the military since 1974.
In Turkey, a man has been charged with murder after allegedly confessing he killed a sex worker because she was transgender. The suspect had agreed to pay for sex with the victim after meeting her on Facebook. However, upon discovering her gender identity, he reportedly killed her.
In entertainment news, Rosie O'Donnell feels her new talk show will boost the Oprah Winfrey Network. The Rosie Show's time period has been changed from its original daytime slot to 7 p.m. O'Donnell's own talk show had a solid audience, and when she joined The View in 2006, ratings increased by double digits.
Dennis O'Hare, who played scheming vampire Russell Edgington on the HBO show True Blood, married longtime partner Hugo Redwood in New York. O'Hare, age 49, is also a Broadway veteran who won a Tony for his work in Take Me Out.
Miley Cyrus has a new tattoo, and this one supports gay rights. Her seventh tattoo is an equal sign, and she even confronted an anti-gay fan on Twitter posting, "Where does it say in the Bible to judge others?" Oh, right, it doesn't. God is the only judge, honey. Cyrus, who was 18, has previously tweeted in favor of same-sex marriage.
Actress Denise Richards acknowledged to shock jock Howard Stern that she once had a same-sex affair. Promoting her new memoir, The Real Girl Next Door, the ex-wife of Charlie Sheen added that the other woman was famous. Richards is best known for her 1998 film Wild Things, which included a steamy lesbian sex scene between herself and Neve Campbell.
The book Coco Chanel, An Intimate Life, contains many revelations about the late fashion designer. Biographer Lisa Cheney writes about Chanel having an open attitude regarding bisexuality, an affair with a then-married Salvador Dali, and opiate usage. Cheney's fascinating biography paints a deeper and darker picture of Coco Chanel than any so far.
Glee star Darren Criss, who plays Blaine, Kurt's love interest on the show, and will also be appearing at Market Days this weekend, will be Daniel Radcliffe's temporary replacement in the Broadway musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Criss will assume the role of J. Pierpont Finch January 3rd through 22nd.
Dolly Parton has apologized to a lesbian couple who were confronted at her Tennessee theme park, Dollywood, about a t-shirt saying marriage is so gay that one of them wore. The couple wrote a letter to Dollywood about being LGBT inclusive. Parton apologized, adding, "I am looking further into the incident. I am very sorry it happened at all."
Desperate Housewives creator Mark Cherry has confirmed that the series will end next year. "We felt from a creative standpoint that this was the right time. I feel so good about it," Cherry said. The series will have been on 8 years, and the last season starts September 25th.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, everybody. This is Cherry Jones, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
Hi, I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. The sculptured torso of Daniel Craig is not a bad reason to take in director Jon Favreau's likable Cowboys and Aliens, a late entry into the summer blockbuster sweepstakes. The movie, which combines two movie genres, sci-fi and westerns, is a fun idea with just enough action welcoming actors, including Craig, Harrison Ford in a supporting role, the energetic Sam Rockwell, Keith Carradine et al., and big-budget effects to make it perfect Sunday matinee material. Craig plays a man of mystery, the Clint Eastwood part, with amnesia whose memory slowly returns just as aliens invade the small frontier town that is lorded over by the local land baron, played by Ford, with the weak-willed, havoc-wreaking son, played by Paul Dano. Olivia Wilde plays a beautiful and also mysterious woman who provides a pseudo-love interest for Craig and joins the search party determined to bring back the local citizenry kidnapped by the marauding ETs. Ironically, given its simplistic kidnap-slash-search-and-rescue plot, Cowboys and Aliens has a lot of fingers in the script-writing and producing pie. But, surprisingly also, this film by committee doesn't get in the way of it being a well-made studio product that should have plenty of mainstream appeal. Sound kind of bland? Kind of bland. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club.
Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting.
For the week of August 8th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Looking for comedy, fashion, and catfights? Well, the Real Housewives have nothing on the ladies of Circle Theater's production of the witty 1930s comedy The Women, playing now through August 14th. For more information or to order tickets to The Women, go to circle-theater.org. Sharpen your claws. These ladies don't play fair.
About Face Theater presents the hottest gay show of the summer, The Homosexuals by Philip Dawkins, extended again through August 21st at the Victory Gardens Theater. Garnering critical praise and 3 stars from the Chicago Tribune, this hilarious and heartwarming play is for anyone who's ever fallen in love with a friend. Get your tickets now for The Homosexuals at aboutfacetheater.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
I would strive, I was reaching for a psychology, a twist of mind to convince you that you're.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very good. You have the last name, same last name as a very famous director that I've worked with numerous times.
Really? Who yeah. is it?
The theater director Trevor Nunn.
Oh, okay. There's only a few nuns out there.
Whatever.
No, I always love to hear a good nun story. I have a website called nunontherun.com, so it's all about me running around. So what time of the day is it there?
It is just going on 25 to 8, and the sun is still up. It doesn't get dark here until about 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And it's beautifully sunny, and I'm just standing looking out across my back garden, across the swimming pool, across the channel, because I live right on the by the beach, and looking to the south coast of England.
Oh my gosh, beautiful. Rough life.
Yeah, no, it's lovely.
And do you live with your partner there?
We do. This is if I describe the house in equivalent to terms of what's in the States, we, you know how in, like in LA, people have their house in the city, or someone might have their house in New York in the city, or in Chicago in the city, and then uh-huh. they have their place in the country outside. This is like our country house, and Scott and I usually spend the weekends here or any days off that we have here, and we have our house in central London, and unfortunately this morning he had to go back to London for work, and I just stayed here today because I had the day off.
Okay, and then you have to work to talk to me. Oh.
I took an hour or so out of the day today to do some interviews.
Oh, great. Well, looking forward to this show. I watched the first 3 episodes. And,
oh, you did? Didn't you enjoy this?
Yes, and I wasn't familiar with all this before, so I'm a new person to...
Oh, well, this is really great to see your point of view and your perspective of it, because, mm-hmm. you know, the one thing that I think really worked well mm-hmm. was the fact that someone who was coming new into it right. was getting a little bit of backstory and a little bit of history to the characters and finding out who this Torchwood organization was and who Jack was and who Gwen was. But yet not having to have watched all the other series to pick all it up. Did it work?
Yes, and I'm not confused at all. Like, it seems like it starts off well, and then...
Yeah?
But the backstory is really interesting to me, how it all came together and has had this big following, and has kept going, you know, from the BBC.
Well, it's been a huge surprise to us, but also it's been really gratifying because... The show itself, many years back, was a spin-off of, written for the character of Captain Jack, a spin-off from the show Doctor Who, and Torchwood is an anagram of Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. So we have a sci-fi history behind us, and the show is, you know, over the years we've evolved. The first series in the UK, Torchwood, was on a very small digital channel, mm-hmm. and then we proved ourselves and got great ratings there. Then we moved to a bigger channel, BBC Two, and our series slightly changed again. Our storylines and things changed. Mm-hmm. Then we proved ourselves there, and then we were moved to BBC One, which was the, you know, which is the big channel over here, and when we were moved to that, we had, you know, less episodes, but we had to do what was called event television, and we had to prove ourselves again. And then it seemed like the natural progression for this, with the fan base that we've built, and with the last series, Children of Earth, mm-hmm. the international fan base that has just grown and grown, mm-hmm. It made perfect sense for us to become part of STARS mm-hmm. in a collaborative effort and move over to the States to film it both in the U.S. and in the U.K. and become more international like our audiences. So we are, as we say over here, we are chuffed.
Nice. Yeah, I was wondering if it was filmed, where it was filmed, because it's hard to tell. It's all over.
Well, we filmed, as you can see from the first episode, it, you know, a lot of it was done in a beach and by a little cottage. That was all done in South Wales.
Okay.
In fact, just a beach about, you know, 15 miles up the coast from where I live, mm-hmm. Called Rosilly Beach, and a lot of it was filmed over here. Then we filmed, we came back over here for about 2.5 weeks to film. Uh-huh. We had to fit everything in. Eve stayed for a little longer because she had some other interior shots and some other shots to do for other episodes that are coming up. Okay. So we did all the filming, although there will be parts in Wales in other episodes, we did it all in one block. Mm-hmm. And which was kind of weird because we were filming some things out of episode 9 and 10, mm-hmm. you know, or sorry, 8 and 9, that we were filming it while we were still filming episode 1. Okay. So that was interesting. And then we then went to the States and filmed everything else, you know, either on location or mm-hmm. on the Warner Brothers lot. And that was just a trip.
Yeah,
that was just that was a total trip because I have a picture of myself. I had a bicycle that I used to get around Warner Brothers uh-huh. on, and I would ride my bike thinking, you know, holy shit, John, you're in Warner Brothers studio. You're over, and I've done Desperate Housewives
sure.
over at Universal. Mm-hmm. I've done other stuff in the States, but you know what? This was my show. Mm-hmm. That was now coming over there, and I was so proud and so pleased to be able to have that, and it was just a really nice feeling.
Yeah.
Overwhelming.
I'm sure. Yeah. Now Eve is really standing out for me. She's coming in town, Chicago next week, so I'm excited about saying hi to her. Yeah.
Both Eve and Alexa will be there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. We want you to come here.
I would love to come there at the moment, but I'm filming another TV show, one of my TV shows in the UK that I not only am in, but I produce it. So I'm hard at work. I'd love to be there. I'd love to come, and I guarantee you I will come to Chicago at some point because it's my stomping ground.
Yeah, you were here for a while in Illinois.
I lived in, first off, I shouldn't say Chicago. I lived in Aurora, Illinois, and then Joliet, Illinois.
Wow. That's awesome.
I went to school up in Chicago just for a period of time at DePaul University.
Oh my gosh, great. That's great.
So, Eve's, she's heading out to see you guys. You'll love her.
Yeah. Well, how is it with the old cast and the new cast working together? You know, you have a lot of new people now.
You know, listen, I know you guys probably want like horror stories or something, but I have to be honest with you. We actually all hit it off. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fact that the new people who were coming in, like Makai and mm-hmm. Alexa and Bill, everybody who was coming into it, they knew that they'd all done the research and you know, saw what the show was prior. So they knew that who Eve and I were. So there really was, it was like welcoming new people into the fold, you know, and, mm-hmm. and Eve and I look at ourselves as being like the mama and the papa of the ship. So, and to be honest with you, and I might be tooting our own horn here, but I'm sure if you asked anyone, we're really easy to get along with. Mm-hmm. We're not difficult. We both have our feet firmly on the ground. We've, you know, in our own world, in the UK, and we're hoping that it gets bigger and better in America, you know, in the success, but we've tasted a little bit of success, and we really like it, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's something that we've learned to deal with, but it hasn't changed who we are. So I think, you know, and we treat our company, whether it's other actors or people who are involved in the technical side of it, we treat everybody like we're a big family. And that's important. I mean, a silly little thing, you know, when it was dinner time or lunch time, people were, you know, we let people bring in their families and stuff to sit and have lunch and dinner with them if they wanted to. So it's, you know, we're very easygoing, and it was a really nice experience to welcome new people into the cast, to have that kind of new energy there, which really is going to add something special to it.
Yeah, I know, I can tell, definitely. My editor wanted me to ask you, he's a huge fan of the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
And he wanted to know if Ianto is going to be coming up in any part?
No. Unfortunately, no.
Work. Okay.
Ianto is mentioned.
Okay.
But Ianto won't be coming back into the series. And I know you look at you going, Ianto? It was, Ianto was Jack's last love interest.
Oh, okay.
And they had a really good relationship, and he died in the last series.
Right. But, I mean, nobody dies sometimes.
go on, sorry.
I said nobody dies sometimes. You know, some of these people come back or they're still alive. So.
No, that's true. Sometimes they do, but, I think for the impact, and because we've now moved on, Russell mm-hmm. explained it better than I do, and mm-hmm. the term that he uses, he says, you know, we couldn't have transplanted this show in the States and brought the entire company with it. So sure. People had to die.
Yeah, no, I understand, yeah. Well, the third episode, you get to have a little safe sex message and some fun
hey,
stuff
hey,
like
hey.
That. That was a hot scene.
Get me a little bit of ass and some safe sex. Yeah, of course a good safe sex message, and so it should be. I mean, uh-huh. ironically, over here in the UK, and I'm glad you picked up on that, mm-hmm. you know, from last year to this year, the HIV spread rate has increased, it's doubled mm-hmm. in the last year, and I firmly believe that's a generation of young people who think that, there's two reasons why. They think that they can't get it because it's a different generation, and also they feel that a lot of people, because I know people who think this way, mm-hmm. Fortunately I'm not one of them, and, you know, for people who have HIV, it's a tough thing to have, and I've got friends who are HIV positive, and mm-hmm. and it's a constant reminder, a constant battle that they go through. But a lot of other people think you can't die from it anymore. So what's the problem? Mm-hmm. And that's just not the right thing, the right way to be thinking. So we were glad to put that safe sex message in there. Of course, I mean, mm-hmm. of course, okay, you can't die, but a lifetime of regret just gets longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
not that I regret.
Right, but it ties back into the show because people think they can live forever when they're young. So.
Absolutely, that's you know, part of the message, and you know, you have to be cautious and careful.
Yeah, yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, I wondered about
that day. I'll just add on that scene. Uh-huh. That day, you know, I woke up and Scott, we have a condominium in West Hollywood, and uh-huh. and I woke up and I got out of bed and I was quite chirpy. And Scott, it was like 5 a.m. and Scott rolled over and he looked at me and he said, "Why are you so chirpy?" I said, "Oh, I'm just off to work to have sex with a 24-year-old.
Wow, you took that okay?
Of course he did. He actually said to me, he said, "Could I come in and watch?" And I would have no problem with that. But I said, "Scott, you know what? I think it's a little much." Dylan, who is the guy who played the character, I said, "It might be a little much for him to have you leering over the wall of the set watching us have sex." I said, "That might not work." I said, "For me, I don't mind, but for him, it might not work, because the poor boy was straight."
Oh, yeah, but that view with that booty, man, wow. So, what else? I wondered about the writers for this show, because they must be have some kind of, you know, fascination with death or something. I don't know, you know, it's an interesting concept.
Well, but you know what? It's not a fascination with death, mm-hmm. because if we were going to do a show about death, mm-hmm. we would have annihilated the planet, mm. which is ironic that they've turned it around and it's a show about life.
Yeah,
Okay. It's because it's about eternal life, and if you think about it, if that were to happen, all of the problems that would occur, and you know, we are living longer in our lives. You know, they're saying that people who are born, you know, this year or in this decade, they could live till they're 120. So you do have all these problems that arise, and it's how we as individuals, how we as a society. Are you one of those, if this were to happen, that one day you woke up and you were immortal, would you be able to cope with it? Would you be the type of person that would help other people, or would you be one of those people that would be the selfish and only live for yourself? You know, how would the governments react? And you know, again, I use the word, it's ironic that in the States we have these big problems at the moment with health care. You know, and that's mimicked in our series. That's, you know, things that might be yet to come if they're not in the first three episodes. But things like that, things about drugs, you know, things about how people live, you know, because in the show, if you're, well, you saw it, if you're injured, you're injured. You still feel pain.
Right.
And the thing that I love about our writers is they always approach subject matter that other shows are afraid to touch. I mean, who would put a pedophile as a main character?
Sure. Well, that's a good point.
And not only that, but these first three episodes, everybody's going, ooh, I don't like him, I don't like him. But you know what? I guarantee you, by episode 10, you're going to like him. Mm. And you're going to be really torn with yourself because you should not like this man.
Mm. He's such a good actor, isn't he? Gosh.
Ah, brilliant. The first... For the first sequence I did with Bill, fortunately I got to go off with Bill, and I went to the south of France to one of the big TV festivals. We went off to do it, and we had a blast. But Bill, the first scene, I think it's in episode 3, where I climb into his dressing room.
Okay.
And that was the first sequence we ever did together. And I just had to kind of pinch myself. And then I'm like, you know, and I said to him afterwards, I said, "You're Bill Pullman," and he just looked at me, laughed, and he went, "Well, you're John Baum," and he said, "You're Captain Jack." I said, "Yeah, but anyway, you're still Bill Pullman." Brilliant.
That's great. Well, you have a huge history of musicals, and you know, you have a solo CD, books, everything. You have a really strong. It was really great looking back at, you know, all your accomplishments. So, you've done a lot yourself.
Thank you. I have a bit of a varied career, and funnily enough, Chelsea, who introduced us on the phone conversation, you know, she said something to me that actually, you know, I kind of live that way, but I don't live by my head, I live by my heart, and that is how I live with my career also, because I do what I think is, and it's going to sound cynical, it's going to sound, you know, really sycophantic, but however you take it, but I actually truly mean it. I only do things because I want to do them and because I think I'm going to have a good time doing it or fun doing it. You know, there's been times I've been paid a lot of money for a job, and there's been times, and I haven't enjoyed it, and I've been paid a little amount for a job, and I've really thoroughly enjoyed it. So I don't do things based on the finance aspect of it. So my career has everything from musicals to books, children's television, concert tours, you know, American television, British television. In fact, the TV show I'm doing right now is my own TV show that I co-produce with the BBC, and I'm also the host of it. And I travel around the UK, and we make people's dreams come true. And it's all performance and entertainment based. And it's one of the most gratifying things that I can do. It's giving back, you know, to other people, because in a way, I'm saying thank you for the success of Torchwood, the success of everything they've given me, because I wouldn't be standing here looking out at the beach if it wasn't for the people who watch the programs.
What's the name of the show?
It's called Tonight's the Night.
Okay.
And you know, we sold it to about 15 to 20 European territories, and it's like number one in most of them. So we hope to bring it to the States. In fact, in August, I'm coming over to with my business partner Gavin, who's also my manager, and we're coming over in August to try to see about selling it to the American networks.
Oh, great. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
And so people can keep up with you on your website, too, just to, if they want to.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, website, Twitter, Barrowman, team underscore Barrowman. Okay. I generally go on and tweet I don't do it all the time, but maybe every week or every 2 weeks, and I put videos on and pictures and just keeping people up to date with where I am and what I'm doing. So, yeah, but website is a good place to keep up to date. It's always the most up to date.
Great. Well, I'll make sure you get a copy of this interview, and I really appreciate your time today. You're a blast.
Thank you very much. And anytime, you know, you want anything, want me to talk, whatever, just give us a bell.
Well, thanks so much. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, have a great day.
And tell your editor, thank you.
I will. Have a great night.
All right, bye.
Bye, thanks.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everyone, I hope you're having a great day. Thanks again for listening and for downloading or streaming our podcast. Lots of great shows coming up. We're going to be bringing you coverage from the IAS 2011 conference from Rome. Also, Dallas's most eligible. Do you like those Southern boys? And also coming up, movie reviews from Richard Knight Jr. He's back with us with a lot of the hot movies of the summer that are still coming out. The summer is not over, folks, not by a long shot, and much, much more. Hope you're having a great day, and thanks for spending a little bit of it with me. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.